This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Well, you guys ready to get into the Word of God for a little bit here? Yeah, kids, you guys can go to Children's Church. Let's give them a hand as they go. Yeah, pretty awesome. I'll tell you what, that 412 program that we have is phenomenal. I would encourage you, if you have kids, to begin to work with them on it. Probably my favorite part of the 412 program is the Bible that you get. And there's a copy out there. You should go out there and look at it. It just, like, when we sit down and reread with Will, it's just really, really fun because it's, well, it doesn't have pictures. I guess it has a few pictures, but it's just worded so simply, you know, and so it's powerful. And so I just encourage you, you know, actually, we were talking about this, that, you know, if you're an adult and you want to do that program, we would put your name on a wall if you do it. And we've got a wall back in the children's department that has stars. And so when they get done, Madison and Will, they're two things away from getting their star on a wall. And so, you know, if you want to be there, you could do it. We just decided we're going to open this up to the youth and to the adults, and the program's right out there on the table. All you got to do is pick it up and begin to do it. Now, we will check you, because I know some of you guys are in here and you're all about cheating and getting your name on the wall and everything like that, but you're going to have to traipse on back to the children's department, and you're going to have to be tested on the New Testament and on the Old Testament and on all of these other things that they have laid out. And so I just encourage you to do it. And actually, I think I'm going to do it because I want my name on a wall too. You know, we were talking about that. I've always liked, you know, I've always strived to get my name on a wall by eating things. You know, I did that one time in Ames, Iowa. I ate this really big bowl of ice cream that Josh Gutau couldn't eat. And I ate it in like 15 minutes with no problem. And my name got put on the wall. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that, you know, with this program, because it's a lot whole lot more better. Yeah. We need to pray. This is going sideways in a hurry. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this time in the Word. And Father, we just, we ask you to just open up our eyes. Help us to see, Father, what it is that we need to see. And we thank you, Father, for what it is that you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love being a dad, and it's phenomenal. All my kids and my son, I had to fight off tears when he was up here, but I love being a dad because it's just, every one of them is unique. We got to go out last night and eat supper, and it was just a blast. And I have so much fun with my family. And you know, the thing is that they're the only ones I get to take with me. And so I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the example that I had in my own life. Actually, when I was standing there during praise and worship, I don't even know why I thought this, but one time we were on this trip, and my brother and I think what made my dad a really good dad was not me, because I was a rule follower, right? I did everything by the book, and then never broke any rules, and I made it really easy on my dad. Now, my brother was a whole nother case, okay? He's why he had accelerated gray hair and some of those other things. But one time we were on this trip, and it had been a long day, and we were in this hotel, and we were in the other room, and my brother has a knack for making anyone laugh and just making jokes and just quick-witted, real quick comments. And so he's in there, you know, and me and him are chuckling and laughing. And my dad, he obviously had come to the end of it. He was tired of it. And so from the other room, in the deepest voice possible, he said, "Go to sleep." You know, my dad was, I mean, you know, he didn't really ever get real stern with us, but at that moment, I knew he was serious. But without hesitation, Greg said, "Or I will put you to sleep." And the laughter took off from there. I'm so thankful that my dad wasn't like that. You know, he wasn't threatening or anything like that. And so, you know, I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for my dad. And But right on the other hand, you know, I know that there are those of you in here that today can be challenging. You know, it's a challenging day because, you know, maybe your dad is not here, or maybe he isn't around, or maybe you don't have a good relationship with him. You know, and so I know that it can be challenging, but you know, the thing that you need to remember is that you have a loving Father, and He cares for you. And I think the other thing that we have to understand is we have to be careful not to base our view of our heavenly Father based upon our earthly father. You know, and it's important because, you know, sometimes, you know, dads, and I include myself, we're not perfect. We don't get it right. But our Heavenly Father, man, He's loving and He's perfect and He cares for each and every one of us. And so, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of dad you have, no matter what your situation or no matter what you're wrestling with, you have a father. And 1 Corinthians 8:6 says it this way. It says, "Yet for us there is only one God, the Father, from whom all things and we exist for Him. And He's one Lord Jesus, by whom all things we exist through Him." You know, another thing in Matthew 23:9 says it this way, "And call no man your father on this earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven." And then finally, Psalms 68:5 says that He is the Father of the fatherless, and a protector and a defender of widows is the God of His holy habitation. God settles the lonely in the families. And so we can just be grateful in the fact that, you know, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. He cares about us. He's cheering for us. He's giving everything that we need. He is our source. He is the reason that we exist. And so, you know, I can remember too, you know, growing up that one of the things that I would do when I was a young man was I'd call Dad. I'd be like, "Hey Dad, you know, we're going here and we're going to do this. You know, what do you think? And you know, you want to give me permission to do that?" And there were times that he would give me permission, but then there were times where he would say, "You know what, son, why don't you come home? You know, why don't you come home?" And you know, as a young man, it's like, "Yeah, but come on, wait, but you know, we're gonna do this, and it's gonna be all right. I'll be home before you know my curfew and all this." And he'd say, "No, son, you know, I think it's a good time. Why don't you just come home?" And so that's the title of my message today, is "Come Home." And because I, you know, there's a verse of scripture here in Luke 15. So if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to be looking at that. Because, you know, I think in those moments, you know, when I was asking for permission to go do something or things like that, it wasn't bad, or and it wasn't that my dad was trying to keep me from doing anything. But I think there was just an ambition, there was a drive, there was a desire, you know. And, you know, thankfully, my dad just cared enough to say, "You know what, you've had enough fun, it's time to come home. You know, it's time to be here, it's time to rest, it's time to take a break." You know, because why? He cared for me, and he had my best interest in mind. And the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. And so, you know, when we look at this verse of scripture in this chapter of Luke, we have a great picture of our Heavenly Father. And so, you know, it reminds me of this story of the son that was lost. And many of you guys remember that story, you know, but it gives us a perfect picture of who our Heavenly Father is. And if you remember, you know, there were two boys in that story. And the young son, he was impatient, right? He was demanding of his own way, and he wanted what it was that he felt like he had coming to him. So he was selfish in that. And what he did was is that he demanded that his dad give him his portion of the inheritance. Man, what a slap in the face if your son came to you and said, "Well, Dad, you know, you're not dying soon enough, so why don't you just give me your inheritance? I'm ready for it now," you know? And what's like shocking to me is that, you know, there was no verbiage in there that the dad said no or anything or withheld. But what did he do? He actually gave this boy the inheritance. We don't have any real record that the dad said, "Here, why don't you come on over here, son? Let me explain some stuff to you. You don't have it all figured out. You're probably going to burn through this. You're probably going to waste it. You don't really know how to manage money, you know." But he didn't do that. He gave the money. And so that's my first point is that a good father, he gives. Now, you know, I'm not saying to just recklessly give to your son, you know, a bunch of money, but I think that the point that I'm trying to make is that the picture that we need to grasp is that our Heavenly Father is a giver. He's a giver. And unfortunately, you know, when you travel through life and you listen to people, that is not necessarily the view that some people have of their Heavenly Father. Some people think that he is a taker. Some people think that, well, he just needed that person and so he took that person, or maybe he took that person to, you know, he took that thing from me so that I would learn something. But that is the farthest thing from the truth. We have to understand that our good Heavenly Father is a giving God. Our Heavenly Father, though, we see here that he gives us free will and choice in the matter. And that's what this young boy had in this, is that he said, you know, if that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. And so this young boy leaves the father. The Father gave him everything, and John 3:16, just as our Heavenly Father, you know, has given us everything, we know in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is a giver. Another one is in James 1:17, that every good, every perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and get this, that there's no variation. So we can be confident in the fact, folks, that today, our Heavenly Father, he's a giver, and there is no variation. He is who the Word says he is. He is a good, loving Father. And so in your notes, he's a good and he gives good and perfect gifts that come from our Father. You know, and so when I read this story, though, I ask myself the question, why did he just let him leave? You know, this son that probably still had things to learn, still had things that this father wanted to teach him, why did he just let him go? You know, and when you think about some of the other stories in the Bible, you know, when you think about David and Bathsheba and the choice that he made to sin with her, you know, the Lord sent people to try to stop that from happening. You know, Samson, you think about Samson, he said, don't shave your head. He told his parents, he was trying, the father was trying to get through to these individuals, hey, don't make that decision, don't do that thing. But at the end of the day, he said that these men had free will. They had free choice in the matter, and he didn't stop them from doing what it was that he wanted to do. You know, I can remember the day that I left my mom and dad's house, the house that they raised me in, I turned out of the driveway, and when I was driving past that white mailbox, I said, I'm never coming back here, and I'm never marrying somebody from here. Those are the two things. I don't know why. I just said that. But the big thing was, I'm not coming back here. And it wasn't that I had a bad experience or that it was that I didn't want to live here. It's just like that ambition, that drive, that desire to go and do other things. And really, it was kind of like this younger son, you know, that he was just selfish in nature, just wanted to go do some things, wanted to go experience some things. And I think that I kind of find myself in that moment of my life, I kind of see myself as that younger son that was just, you know, doing what he wanted to do. And I want to do this, and I want to go here. And so, you know, we have to just be careful, because the reality of it is that our loving, giving Father, he'll let us do it. He'll let us go. He'll let us go do what it is that we want to do. But we have to understand this point, that God wants sons and daughters, not prisoners. He wants sons and daughters, not prisoners. And so that's why he's not forcing us to serve him. He's not forcing us to worship him. He's not forcing us to give and honor him with our lives. Because why? He wants us to just want to be in his presence. He wants us to want to be there. And so I think that's why this father didn't say anything to the son. He said, well, all right, son, if that's what you want the money and you want to go do that, I'm going to let you do that. And you know, the thing is that the reality of it is that our Heavenly Father is the same way with our life. Okay, son, if that's what you want to do, that's the way you want to have it, if that's the choice that you want to make, you know, there's warnings and there's things that he wants to keep us safe from, but he wants us to be sons and daughters. You know, because having to is a religion, right? If we have to do something, if I have to go to church, if I have to worship, if I have to give, that's a religion, and that's not what he wants. He wants us to be willing, and he will not force us to stay in the house. And that's what this father did. He didn't force this son to stay in the house. He didn't force him to stay in his presence. But the thing is that I'm sure that he said, before you go, you need to understand I love you. I'm sure he told him that. You know, my dad says that to me a lot. Hey, I love you. I love you. And that's the thing that we need to understand is that our Heavenly Father, he loves us. But he's going to let us have a choice and a will and decide how it is that we want to live our lives and where it is that we want to go. You know, I've shared this story before, but this was years ago. It was, I think Will was about 2 years old, and we were out in this cornfield that's below our house, and Emily and a friend were out playing on this terrace, and Will was so small that he couldn't walk over these corn stalks. You know, he had a diaper on, and he had those pants that sag in the crotch, you know. And so I'm carrying him, and, you know, he's just like, he wants to get down and go. You know how they are when they're 2 years old. And so he's whining, and he's crying, and he's looking to me. He's like, I want to go out there, you know. And I said, I'm not going out there. I've already walked about a half a mile. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go back. Rachel's making some chocolate chip cookies. I'm going to have some milk, and that's where I'm going, you know. And so he was upset. You know, and the minute that I looked down at him, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're like that sometimes. I was like, what? You know, where you cry and you whine and you want your own way. That's exactly what we see in the life of this younger son. You know, where it was, he was wanting his own way, wanting to do his own thing, wanting to go his own way. And so Will, you know, he saw what was going on over there, and that's where he wanted to be. And so it was a moment where he helped me to understand, listen, you know, I'm going away, I'm doing something, you know, because what I did is then I just told Will, I said, here's the deal, I'm going back there and I'll pick you up and I'll carry you the direction that I'm going. You know, and the Lord just instilled in me that he is on the move. He's doing things and he will carry us and he'll help us and he'll encourage us and he'll put us up on his shoulder and he'll walk and he'll help you through life. But if you demand and you're selfish and you just want to go your own way, he'll let you do it. And it'll be corn stalks and a tough road and a lot of whining and a lot of complaining. But you know what? He wants to pick you up and he wants to help you. And so, you know, in this moment, it was really just a warning that if you love me, please keep my commandments. And that's really what the Heavenly Father, he's given us a book full of his instruction, full of the things that are meant to bring us life. And it's just like, listen, son, these are the commandments that I've given you because I love you. And you know, and I think as kids, sometimes we don't understand it. You know, when growing up, when dad would say and mom would say, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to watch this. I don't want you to listen to this. I want you to hang out with them. A lot of times you don't quite understand it. But the reality of it is that parents care for and they have your best interest at heart. And the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father, that he cares for us and he wants us to live a good life. And so sometimes we don't understand it, but we just have to understand that, you know what, these are the commandments that have been given to us to keep us safe because he wants us to live this good life. You know, with my kids, most of the time, all of the time, I want them to be safe. Now, the other night, it was an exception. I was outside working on the pool, and my wife came outside, and she's like, what on earth are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm cleaning the pool. And she goes, no, I'm not talking about the pool. I'm talking about the two children that are on the small motorcycle without helmets, without shoes, riding around the house, okay? Well, it looked like they were having fun. I just said, keep your feet out of the chain. But, you know, the reality of it is that we care for our kids and our Heavenly Father cares for us. And what he's saying to you is, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why? Because I know that if these things are not kept, they'll cause pain. And there's nothing that I want to see more than my child in pain and going through that. And so We have to know that he's a giving father and that he loves us and he cares about us. And our giving father will let us go and he will let us leave his presence. And so as that story goes on, the young boy chose to leave, take everything that he had. He made a lot of poor decisions and disregarded, you know, much of what was going on. And then that famine swept the land and he ended up losing everything that he had. And he found himself working for a farmer in a pig stall. And it says that he came to his senses. He realized, my goodness, what am I doing here? My dad has all of this and he has servants and his servants, they are better off than I am. I'm going back to him. And so we see that on his way back, his father was looking for him. He was waiting for him. So number two in your notes is that a good father looks. And what was he looking for? You know, I think sometimes we look at that story and we think, well, he was just looking and waiting for his return. And I believe that he was, but I think that there's more to it. It wasn't just about him coming home. Something had taken place inside of him, on the inside. It wasn't the natural return, but it was the difference that was taking place on the inside of this young man, and something had taken place on the inside. And oftentimes I think that we are so focused on the external and the change of the external that we forget about the fact that change on the outside can't happen unless there's change on the inside. And that's really why we have been given the Word of God, is to do what? To change us and to transform us on the inside. And so you can't have change on the outside until you change what's on the inside. And so while he was still a long way off, I love that. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him. You know, and I like that because it's like he was a long way off. How many of you guys are a long ways off? There's some weeks that you're a longer way off than normal, you know, because why? We're not perfect and we miss it. How many of you guys, am I the only one in here that has missed it, has missed the mark and you know, jumped to a conclusion or maybe let your emotions get in the road or how many of you guys have ever said something, you know, not in love? That's just being a little ways off. And so we have to understand, number one, is that our Father isn't looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection. It says in Philippians 3:12, it says, this is something that Paul encouraged us in. He said, I'm not saying that I have it all together. Man, the guy that wrote two-thirds of the New Testament said he didn't have it together. That's an encouragement to me, right? You don't have to have it all together. And just like Paul said, you know, I'm not saying I have it all together. He goes on to say, but I am well on my way. And I love that statement. I love that phrase, reaching out to Christ, who is so wonderfully reaching out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means have I counted myself an expert on this, but I've got my eyes on the goal and I'm off and I'm running and I'm not turning back. And so, you know, the thing is that, you know, we may be a long way off, but that's not, we can't just like park there. Well, I'm just a long way off. No, there's an expectation that our Heavenly Father has for us that we are in process, just like Paul said, that we are on our way. You know, and I think that that's what we need. We need to be people that are on our way. And I'm not going to stay here. I'm just like Paul. I'm progressing. I'm moving. I'm gaining. I'm getting more understanding. I'm being a doer of the Word, and I'm changing. He said another time, Paul did in Hebrews 12:1. Said, therefore, since we're surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the encumbrances and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's been set before us. So, Paul's encouraging us, what? To move forward and to get rid of the stuff that's holding us back. Move forward and get rid of the stuff that's holding us back and hindering us. And so what we see here is that he's not looking for perfection. It goes on to say here in this story in verse 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, I'll get up, I'll go to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And so here's a couple things that we can pull from that is that our Heavenly Father is looking for your surrender. That's what he's looking for. You know, we hear of stories of people that have given their heart to the Lord. They've walked the aisle many, many times, but it's not until they surrender in their heart that real life change happens. And so that's really what happened in him, and that's what our Heavenly Father wants to happen in us. And what's unique about this is that he said to his dad, "I'm no longer worthy." But one thing that he went on to say is he said, "Make me one of your servants." And I believe that that's what the Father wants to do in our life, that when we just surrender to him and we say, "You know what, Lord, just make me who you want me to be. Change me, mold me, change me in the way that you want me to be." And I believe that he does. And so, you know, I ask this question, you know, are there areas of your life that you need to come to your senses in? You know, are you struggling in an area, justifying with adamant, I'm adamant that this is, and the Lord all the while is just saying, "Why don't you just surrender that area of your life to me?" Just, you know, in your own life, in your own time, ask yourself that question. Is there a place that I need to come to my senses? Because here we see that surrender in life, he asked the Father to make him something. And so, you know, dads today, you know, I want you to understand, it's not about perfection. It's not about being perfect and you know, they're not going to remember the really expensive gifts that you buy. What they're going to remember is your presence. They're going to remember that you were there. They're going to remember that you're there for them and listening to them. And so I just encourage you, you know, to not strive for perfection, but be in process. Be in process. I think that that's what our Heavenly Father wants, is he wants us to be in process as men. He wants us to be in process as leaders and as fathers and as daughters and as sons. He wants us to be in process. And, you know, our Heavenly Father isn't asking for perfection. He's asking us to surrender our lives. And so our life as a dad and as a husband and as a leader is just simply that, surrendering to him. And so it goes on to say here in Luke 15:20 that he came to his senses and he got up from his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy." But listen, his father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe into the house and put it on him. Get a ring and put it on his finger, and sandals on his feet." And so the third thing that we see here about good fathers is that a good father restores. A good father restores. So whether you realize it or not, your Heavenly Father, he receives you and he restores you. No matter what. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how wrong you get it, he receives you and he restores you. This point has been so evident in my own life. I've been sharing this with my dad. This winter got over, and when all the snow melted, how many of you guys were so thankful when the snow melted? I know we're a long ways from that, but when all the snow melted, something happened. I began to see all of these tools laying in my yard, one by one, as the snow drifts melted. I was like, "Wait, that's my hammer." And then as this drift would go down, "Wait, that's my best shovel," you know? And so all of these tools, I bet you there was like a half a dozen of these tools laying. They had been laying there for, I don't even know how long they had been laying there. And they were covered in rust and just completely destroyed. Destroyed. And I took a deep breath, because I remembered that I was the same way. I was the same way, man. I can't even tell you how many socket sets I ruined for this guy right here. That's really what I should do, is just give him an unlimited supply of sockets for the rest. Actually, he still has them. I think I lost your 3/4 drive though. No, that's beside the point. But anyway, you know, what I remember about my dad and the tools that I lost, because I lost a lot of them. I know I left hammers and saws, and they were rusty, and shovels, and all of these things are gone forever. But you know, the one thing about my dad is that he never like came down on me and just let me have it verbally for losing or ruining a tool. I can't say that I have, I can't say I've done that with Will. But the thing is that he restores. Our Heavenly Father restores and says, you know what, it's okay. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter how dirty you think you are. It doesn't matter what you said. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've missed it, how you think about yourself. I want to restore you. I want to bring you back. I want to love you. I want to bring you. I want to make you something. But so oftentimes I think that we get hung up on what it is that we've done wrong and the mistake that we've made, and we forget about the fact that he doesn't even care about it. He doesn't care about it. What he cares about is having you in his presence. What he cares about is having you there. What he cares about is having you surrender. And what he cares about is restoring you back to and above and beyond where it is that you're at in life. And so we just have to come to that place and to that recognition in our lives that, you know what? It's not about the stuff. It's not about what I did. It's about my relationship with him and what it is that he wants me to be. I'm going to put this stuff behind me. I'm going to throw this stuff off, and I'm going to allow him to make me who he wants me to be. And so in Psalms 46:1, it says this. It says that God is our refuge and our strength and our very ready help in time of trouble. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. That in this restoration, in these moments where we feel like we could never amount to anything, he's there to help. He's there to restore. I like what it says in Matthew 7:9. It says, ask and I will give you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks will find. He who knocks, it will be opened. As it goes on to say, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give you good things to him who asks? And so what we see here is that in the natural, we give good things to our kids. But this verse of scripture is saying, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you and want to give you good things and want to restore you back? So to be restored, it requires that we come to the Father. This young son came back to the Father. He realized, he came back to his senses, and he's like, I got to go back. And this is what I need to say. And this is what I need to do. Yeah, he had some issues. His perception wasn't completely right, but it didn't change the fact that in his heart of hearts, he knew that he needed to be in the presence of God, and he had to come back. You know, and so he made that choice. And what's so cool about it is that he did. He pushed aside the decisions and the bad choices that he made, and he came back into the presence of his Father. But just as I see myself in the young son, sometimes I see myself in the older son, the older brother. You guys remember him? Because what happened with him was that he was out in the field diligently working and doing what it was that he knew to do. And when he heard what was going on, he heard this party and all this music. He's like, what is going on? And so he had one of the servants said, well, your brother came back. And something happened on the inside of him, though. Something was stirred on the inside of him that wasn't good. It kept him from the very presence that his brother chose to come back and be a part of. You know, and so it says here in Luke 15, verse 21, the son said, Father, I was wrong, I've sinned, and I've come back. I don't deserve to be called your son. And the father said, just let me be. The father interrupted him and said, son, you're home now. Let's prepare a great feast. And so number four, a good father celebrates what really matters. A good father celebrates what really matters. You know, and this older brother, man, my heart goes out to him because he was stirred. Something, you know, obviously he held on to things. I'm sure that he watched his younger brother take advantage of his dad and leave. I'm sure his young older brother knew what was going to take place. I'm sure that he was like, why on earth would you do that, dad? You know, here I am, man, I've been here doing this. And you know all the excuses that he made. How many of you guys have ever made excuses? We all have. But here's the thing. That older brother held on to those excuses. He held on to those things that were inside of him. He didn't let them go. and he didn't choose. And he actually, he came to the end and he's like, you know, Dad, it's not fair. I've followed the rules. I've done everything. I've been faithful. Where's my blessing? Where's my party? Where's my reward? He's going through all of these things. And he said, why are you celebrating this young brother? And the dad said, listen, I'm celebrating what really matters. This brother of yours was dead and now he's alive. I'm celebrating the fact that he was lost and now he's found, right? Son, I'm celebrating what really, really matters. Your younger brother has come home. And so I think that, you know, today, you know, I'm sure that you can find yourself somewhere in here. I'm sure that maybe you need a better picture of who your Heavenly Father is. Maybe you see yourself as the younger son. Maybe you see yourself as the older brother. I don't know. But my prayer today for you is that you would find yourself in this story and that you would begin to make those adjustments in your heart and say, you know what? I don't want to be like, I'm living like that younger brother, man. I'm going back. I'm going to get back into the presence of God. I'm going to put these things that I've selfishly, you know, chased after, and I'm going to go back into the presence of God and begin to be close to him and allow him to make me who he wants me to be. Or maybe you're like the older brother and you're holding on to things. And it's like, I don't think that's fair. And I don't think that's fair. And I don't understand this. And those things and those thoughts and those ways of acting are keeping you from his presence. And so my prayer today is that you would just say, you know what, Lord, I just repent. I repent for being like that younger brother. I repent for being like that older brother. I want to come back and be in your presence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. I just thank you for your word to us. Father, I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking. He's speaking to us to come home. To come home from selfishness, to come home from, you know, demanding our own way, to come home from maybe just, you know, prideful and arrogant thinking. And so I just pray for each and everybody that's in here today. And I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to them right where they're at, right where they're at. And that you're speaking to their heart and you're speaking to their life. And you're saying, why don't you come home? Why don't you come home? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I think that, you know, it'd be good to just between you and your Heavenly Father say, that's me. And so if there's anybody in here and you feel like in your heart, that's me, just lift up your hand and say, God, that's me. I need to repent. Is there anybody at all that wants to just come home? Maybe you haven't made a decision. I can see that hand. You can put it down. Maybe you aren't saved. You've never given your heart. You've never really fully surrendered to him. Or maybe you've walked away like the younger son and you want to come back. Is there anybody else in here that you just want to come home today? It's Father's Day. It's a great day to come home. Anybody else want to join these that have raised their hand? All right. Let's just pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your son. Yes, we thank you. And today, we repent of our actions, of our selfishness, of our pride, and we make a choice to come home. We accept you as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, Father. Yes, Father, for what it is that you want to make us. There's a great calling and there's a great plan and there's a great purpose. You're not done with us. No matter how old we are, naturally or spiritually, Father God, yes, there are things in store. There are things in the future. There's new seasons. There's new views. And so I just thank you, Father God, that you're helping us to see those things. You're helping us. You're revealing those things to us as we come into your presence. And so I just thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you're showing us that great plan, that great purpose. Yes, we will do what it is that you've called us to do in these last days, to be an ambassador and a representative of you. And we thank you, Father, for strengthening us with might to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.